Let's go to John chapter 3. Jesus is saying something important here. He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Are you reading?
John 3:14, I hope. Isn't that what it says? Let's go to Numbers 21 now and see if we can come to some understanding what this is. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and Israel delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called... He called the name of the place Hormah. Hormah means utterly, utter destruction. So I guess that's a good name. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to surround or compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, the manna. Remember what I've said to you so often. The manna then and the manna now meets every desire of your heart, unless there is guilt or idolatry. And guilt and idolatry produce a speaking of the mouth, whether it's verbal or not, of slander. And slander produces the leprosy. Okay? And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from among us. And Moses prayed for the people. It's interesting in the construction there. In the first place it says fiery serpents, but in the last place where it just mentions serpent, it's just a singular serpent. And so the fiery serpents are the minds of all of those people, but it really is just one serpent. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now what kind of a deal is that?
What does fiery mean? What does fiery mean?
I don't know. It means that it produced destruction in their way, I guess. I don't remember.
Maybe that's the way it felt when they bit.
I want you to see that the fiery serpents are still amongst us. And every time that your mind looks around and says something is wrong, something needs to change, something isn't right, and you believe that instead of the finished work of Christ, then there are fiery serpents. It never stops. The fiery serpent is you, is your mind. And the minute the fiery serpent is given place, then many are defiled, many are hurt, many are damaged. And the only solution is to look upon what? As Moses lifted up the fiery serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now what, how could that work? What was that about? Now, Moses put up the serpent for a sign. This is what one of the rabbis say. Moses put up the serpent for a sign. It's the same as he that chastiseth his son and sticks up the rod in some eminent place when the child may see it and remember. Now, most of the time when the word plague, other than in the book of in Exodus, when it talks about a plague went among the people, which it says elsewhere about this, the plague that is going among the people is leprosy. And the leprosy comes from slander. And throughout the Talmud, throughout the Midrash, whenever there was slander in the community, the people would say, or the rabbi would say to the people, remember what happened to Miriam. It was the same way, in a very real sense, it was the same thing that Moses did here. He put up the serpent, the fiery serpent, the brass serpent in the wilderness to overcome the slander. Now, how does that work? Why would looking upon the fiery serpent here, and why did Christ compare his being lifted up on the cross to Moses comparing or putting up the fiery serpent? And why does it say that they that looked on the fiery serpent, doesn't mean just glance at it, it meant to look on it, to see it, to comprehend it, to shema it, to hear with understanding, to see with perfect clarity. And anyone that looked upon the serpent lived. Now the reason that we don't understand this is because it's the same thing that we've said so often. It's very difficult for a fish to describe the ocean. We live in the milieu of backbiting and gossip and judgment. It's about all we know. Wherever we look, we see something wrong. Somebody's not doing what they should be. Somebody's not responding to you the way you want them to. Something is out of order. Something is always wrong. And so it's hard to understand for us that there's any other way of living. But God says that way of living, that looking, that denying of the finished work of Christ is slander. Doesn't matter whether you tell anybody or not. Eventually you will. You will tell somebody by your judgments against them or by your looking around and wherever you look, something is wrong. Because it is the same way, in the same way it denies the finished work of God in exactly the same way as the spies denied the finished work of God when they were entering into the promise. And it is so commonplace to see this, or to do this, that for most of us, we can't see that we are doing it even. Because it's just natural to look around and, well, that's wrong. That shouldn't be this way. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. What?
Your slander isn't really even directed at that person. It goes right to God.
That's right.
That's who you're slandering. the situation and saying he doesn't know what he's doing.
No, you're saying, remember, whenever you look and see anything other than peace, wherever you look and see anything other than peace, you're slandering God because you're saying that his sacrifice wasn't enough for you. You are so special. You are so unique that the sacrifice of God wasn't enough for you. And I promise you, your statement of not understanding it will be echoed throughout eternity. Somebody will tell that to God. Now, this then is what produces the leprosy of the forehead. And the leprosy of the forehead is the curse of that is you're forever and ever alone. And that just makes it worse. Now, what is this thing? Why look upon the fiery serpent? When they looked upon the fiery serpent, they saw themselves. And now when we look, as Christ lifted up in the wilderness, we see our own sin so total and so complete, and then possibly, maybe, by some mystery, repentance is possible.
They saw it themselves and their sin and everything judged
by the brass
on the cross.
Right.
The brass was the judgment, and so it was like the whole picture is there.
Right.
It says it is finished.
That's right.
It's over with. You're over with.
Now there's a rabbi named, and I can't even pronounce it, it's Nachmanid. He said this incredible thing thousands of years ago. Thou shalt remove the mischief by that which did the mischief, and thou shalt heal the disease by that which made thee sick. He's the first homeopathist.
Did you say mischief?
Thou shalt remove the mischief. Well, it's the English word. The Hebrew word is the kalmani, or the evil, or the...
In his word to behead, when he beheld the serpent of brass, that beholding is the kind of a key word to me, that once you behold, see, and understand, then the automatic is healing.
Well,
part of what's going on is you're down in this valley fighting snakes and jebusites, parasites, and everything. And if you look up on the hill and see the serpent raised up, part of that is you've got this perfect sacrifice. You've got this perfect being whose end is to be sacrificed. Well, if the perfect being's end is to be sacrificed, what in the world is my end? It's like, I guess to put it, Christ has trumped any of your problems or complaints.
Well, but he, yeah, but what do you, what the,
or efforts, or qualities, yeah. Or, I mean, it's all
right, but the
end of it is right there.
But the heresy says that he did that so you wouldn't have to suffer, so you would be rich, so you wouldn't have any...
So you could be a snake with potential.
Very good.
Remember, and again, the key to the understanding of this lies in your understanding of Jacob. Jacob did not use his own name for over 20 years. He always said he was son of. And then he finally wrestled with the angel. And the angel would not release him until he said his name. And his name is the way of the snake. Now, God's not going to release you. You're going to continually walk in aloneness and living in the world of your mind, which is obscene. creating new fantasies and new ideas and new things. Until you come to the point where you along with Jacob can confess that my name is the way of the snake, I am the way of the snake, I cannot change, or I am the way of the leopard, I cannot remove the spots, or I am the way of the bear in Revelation 13, I will smile and be peaceful while I'm and docile while I'm about to kill you. You will never, none of this will make any sense. You will hear this every day after day after day, and you will walk out and you will return to the way of the snake. Until the way of the snake becomes so odious to you that you cannot, the only way that can happen is the fear of God. But that is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the understanding that of your terrible, terrible position you're in. And everything in the Scriptures teaches this.
So when John says, "You generation of vipers, you sons of the serpent," you agree, and I mean, he knows right. It's not like a bad thing.
I just seen how my snake works. That it would say, "Well, sure, I got some problems, but I'm working on it." Rather than the totality, you know, there's nothing good about this. Always trying to finesse.
Remember, your curse is for your eternity. Your food will be the dust of the earth. And it cannot satisfy. It's like, you know, this thing about, you know, nothing ever is, you know, nothing that we can imagine is going to happen is ever as bad as we think it will be. And nothing good that we can ever imagine is ever as good as we think it will be. Because your human system, see, the core of your being knows that no matter how good it is or how bad it is, it's all the same. It's all dust. And so eventually you'll just adapt to eating more dust as your sustenance. And you'll try different colored dust and different texture of dust and a different dust from a different area. But it's all dust. That's what your sustenance, that's the only thing that the snake of your mind can give you. That's all. That's the only thing that it's possible to eat, to gain sustenance and satisfaction from. There's no way out. That's why you know people like that are the, you know, they're constantly reading a new book or seeing a new movie or seeing something. It's never ending, because soon your system adapts, because it knows it's just dust, and then you have to have something else, and you go something else, and it's a different color, and it's a different shape, and it's a different this, but it's all dust. Oh, I know, I'll get a new job, then I'll be okay. Oh, I know, I'll go to Paris, then I'll be okay. I know, I'll get $1 million, then I'll be okay. I know, I'll get a girlfriend, I'll be okay. I know, I'll get a boyfriend, I'll be okay. I know, I'll get married, then I'll be okay. I know, I'll have kids. Nothing, it's all dust, 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 dust. And that's what you eat. And when you sit there and live in your mind, you're just chomping on dust. Just eating dirt. The only way you're going to ever know it's dirt is until you with, along with Ezekiel, see that the best that you can do is eat your own dung. I'm going to have to quit. I'm really hurting. I'll make up for yesterday and the other days. This is a real short Bible study. Anybody have any response to any of this before I adapt and go to bed?
Do you want credit? Credit minutes for today?
What?
Do you want credit minutes for today?
Yes, I want 10 rollover minutes.
You do. Yeah.
Thank you, Ronnie. I knew you. I could depend on you. All right, take it, big guy. Unless somebody has something. Do you have anybody?
Amen.
Everybody understand it perfectly. You're not going to be something. There's no merit in admitting you like dust. You're never going to, that's never going to.